Nation, what's going on? Welcome to another edition of the Silver and Black Hole, exclusively here on the Silver and Black Pride Podcast Network on SB Nation. I'm your host, Nick Hamilton, alongside my man, Kalen Sokol. And we got a jam-packed show for y'all today. Of course, coming off the aftermath of the huge AFC West showdown between the Oakland Raiders and the Los Angeles Chargers. Last time the Los Angeles Chargers will be playing the Oakland Raiders in Oakland in the Black Hole. We'll get into that. What the takeaways were, the pros and cons, all that great stuff. And yes, the Raiders were successful and continue to control their own destiny, sitting at 5-4. Bringing in my man, Kalen. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, today, doing great, relaxed and nice. Good day, especially after Raiders win, you know?
Yes, indeed. After a great Raiders win on a big Thursday night, that's right, Thursday night football, where the entire country can see exactly what we've been seeing all season long. Now, lately, I have been skeptical of the Oakland Raiders. If any of you all recall my former broadcast partner on the other podcast, you would recall me saying that I don't think the Raiders would get more than 7 wins. Well, it appears that I may be wrong. The Raiders could be making a playoff appearance. Who knows? Right now, they are sitting at 5-4, which is second behind the AFC West leading Kansas City Chiefs. And that is thanks in part to a huge fourth quarter, 2-minute drill drive down the field that was capped off by 18-yard touchdown run by none other than the rookie running back, Josh Jacobs, who I call the Raider godsend. Every time Raider Nation sees this guy, you all need to be on your knees thanking the good football gods above that the Raiders had the good sense and Mike Mayock along with John Gruden to draft this kid out of where? The Alabama Crimson Tide. Roll Tide. So, what were your takeaways from the Raiders and Charger game? Because it was a very weird game, at least for the first 3.5 quarters. You saw the Raiders do some amazing things on defense. You saw the Chargers make some good runs. And I noticed a few things, good and bad, that didn't get too ugly when it came to this Raider-Charger game.
Yeah, so, I mean, one thing I definitely noticed was that, like any other game, Josh Jacobs is a very elusive. I mean, he's a very hard-nosed runner that evades a bunch of tackles, and he's very hard to take down. I mean, that is definitely one thing I noticed. And besides that, Derek Carr leading the team, as you said, on the game-winning drive. That's his 19th game-winning drive of his career, and people were doubting Carr before this season. I mean, how can you doubt him after that winning drive and winning a huge game like this? Plus, in his past 6 games, he has an 8 touchdown to 1 interception ratio. How can you doubt him any longer?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, listen, Derek Carr exemplified the Mamba mentality. We all know he's a huge fan and supporter of Kobe Bryant, and we all know Kobe Bryant represents not just excellence, but that Mamba mentality that he's instilled upon a lot of players, not just basketball players, but, you know, athletes across the board, football, baseball, and so forth. And Derek Carr happens to be one of those recipients. And listen, I said, and I tweeted out on Thursday night, I said, if Derek Carr is going to be that Derek Carr, the one that we saw 2.5 seasons ago, that was the running for the league MVP that got the Raiders to 12-4, this is where the Derek Carr of the Mamba mentality has to come alive. And also clock management is going to have to be in effect. They're going to have to be the most disciplined they've been the entire game. Excuse me. And sure enough, I mean, Derek Carr was launching them. Derek Carr was all over the field. He was finding his spots. It seemed like the O-line was really holding up for him. Probably the best we've seen in that entire game when it came to that drive. I mean, that was a captivating drive. And then when I saw the hole just open right up for Josh Jacobs to run on the left side for 18 yards, and he finally found that black carpet, which was known as the end zone, I mean, I said, okay, it's a wrap. All the Raiders have to do now is not play defense. And sure enough, I'd be damned if I didn't see the Raiders almost give this game away defensively, because as we saw throughout the night, the Raiders picked up silly penalties that shot themselves in the foot and continued to give the Chargers a chance at this game to stay, not only stay in the game early on, but to possibly win the game as the Chargers were driving down the field. Now, the one thing I will say that I noticed was that the Chargers defense kept Mike Williams in check for pretty much the entire game. I think Mike Williams had two big catches late in the third quarter, and pretty much Mike Williams was part of the Milk Carton All-Stars. We hadn't seen his presence at all, and especially him coming off a huge 100-plus yard game, the first 100-plus yard game of his career last Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. And now he's a no-show, which to me shows a lot of respect and a lot of tenacity when it comes to the Raider defense. How did you assess this Raider defense, man? Because to me, I think they played fairly well, minus the penalties, which they're going to have to definitely clean that up if they plan on making a playoff run.
Yeah, you're right. They definitely have to clean up. You cannot play undisciplined football, especially at this stage in the season. But I thought Eric Harris and that defense forcing three turnovers and Phillip Rivers was huge, because to win games, to get into the playoffs, it helps to create those turnovers. And having three interceptions against and on one of the upper echelon quarterbacks of the league in Phillip Rivers, or at least in my opinion, the Raiders definitely stepped the game up, and Eric Harris stepped it up. Having two big interceptions, including a pick six and a large return in the first half alone, is huge. And that D-line definitely was definitely good. And I definitely think, I mean, they could improve down the stretch, but coming out fighting like they did last night was good.
Oh, man, it was huge. It was a huge game. I mean, this game had a lot of implications. I mean, this was a game that could have propelled the Chargers, if they had won, to going five and five. So they actually would have been 500 and still in the running for a playoff bid, and it would have put the Raiders behind the eight ball because now their season would have been on the line. Now with this win, the Raiders pretty much put the Chargers season on the line, because if the Chargers get another loss, which is quite possible, they're pretty much out of the playoff run, because the best they could finish at that point would be 9-7, and that may not be enough in the AFC to capture a playoff wild card bid, especially with the Raiders continuing to be in second place. And there's only two wild card bids available, which I think are going to come. One is going to come out of the AFC West. I think the other one comes out of the AFC South, depending on the nature of the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts and how that shapes up. But then again, I can't discount the Buffalo Bills right now either, because they're playing some really incredible football as well. But we do know one of those wild card bids could come from the AFC West, and the Oakland Raiders can put their name on it if they continue to play better football, continue to capture these wins that are necessary for them to put themselves in that position. The one thing I will say, my MVP on defense is definitely Eric Harris. I mean, he was absolutely phenomenal. He was all over the field on Thursday night. I mean, he frustrated Phillip Rivers. You can see after that second interception that Phillip Rivers threw, you can see the frustration on Rivers' face. And I'm saying, okay, now he's getting to him. Now this Raider defense in front of the black hole is playing like the Raider defense we've imagined them to be playing all season long. And they quickly turned that into a 10-0 lead just in the first quarter. I mean, they shut out the Los Angeles Chargers in the first quarter. The Chargers didn't make a run until the second quarter. But the one thing I have a problem with, and the one thing that concerned me about the Raider defense, was the fact they had the inability to stopping the run. I mean, they could not really stop Austin Ekeler. They definitely couldn't stop Melvin Gordon, because Melvin Gordon had his way pretty much majority of the night when it came to the running game. He finished with 22 carries on over 100 yards of total offense. which is absolutely incredible. I mean, Melvin Gordon is definitely coming along. But if you're going to be the Raiders and you're trying to make a playoff run, what you're going to have to do with your defense is find a way to stop the run effectively. And to me, I think they got a D-plus in stopping the run last night when it came to Melvin Gordon and the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, Melvin Gordon last night showed the reason why he's one of the upper echelon running backs in the league and why he thinks he deserves to be paid all the money. But again, doing that against the Raiders, Raiders cannot have that for the rest of the season, because with opponents coming up who are a lot, are still just as good as them, if not better, you can't have that, because you're playing teams, you're going to have to play the Chargers again, and you'll need to beat them to get in the playoffs. You'll play the Chiefs, and you'll play a couple other teams that have good, solid running backs within the division. The key to making the playoffs for the Raiders is to win their division, and you have to be able to stop the run, like you said, because you're playing, you have a whole division that is loaded with star running backs.
Well, listen, I don't think they're going to win the division. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I know Raider Nation may be mad at me. And yes, I've been called a Raider hater. That's fine. Whatever. But I'm a realist. I'm a Raider realist. Okay? I don't think they win the division. I think Kansas City hangs on, especially with Pat Mahomes coming back. He's not lost for the season. We all know how powerful the Kansas City Chiefs are when Pat Mahomes is under center. So I don't think they win the division unless Kansas City just completely craps the bed, which I doubt. I think the best that the Raiders can do is finish second, maybe with a 10-win season, and hopefully that propels them into a wild card bid. But yeah, like you said, when they play the Chargers again, they're going to have to play other AFC West opponents moving forward. I mean, when I look at the Raiders schedule, for example, they're going to have some tough games. They don't have any gimme games per se. I mean, they host the Bengals. That should be a win. They host the, they go on the road to New York to face the Jets, which can be a trap game because everybody knows West Coast teams have issues flying across the country for those early 10 a.m. games. So that could be an issue. And then right after that, you go to Kansas City to face the Chiefs, which I don't know how that's going to fail. I don't know how that's going to happen with a W, especially if Pat Mahomes is back under center. We saw the last time they faced the Kansas City Chiefs that happened to be in Oakland. And yes, they played a great first quarter against the Kansas City Chiefs. But correct me if I'm wrong, the last time I checked, it's 60 minutes worth of football. It's four quarters. And the other three quarters, they play like complete hot garbage. So if the Raiders want to bounce back and avenge that loss in Oakland, they're going to have to come out, set the tone, much like they did on Thursday night against the Chargers, and pretty much keep their foot on the necks of the Kansas City Chiefs. Then they come back home on December the 8th, host the Tennessee Titans, which should be a win. They remain home against the Jacksonville Jaguars the following week, which should be a win. Then they go down to Los Angeles to the Dignity Health Sports Park on December 22nd. That should be a win for the Oakland Raiders. And then they finish out the season at Denver, which can also be a kind of a tricky game. We know they did very, very well against the Broncos to open up the season in Oakland. They should mimic that, have a lot of momentum going into that game on December 29th. So from this point right now, I'm looking at one, possibly two, three, four, five. I'm looking at six wins here. I'm looking at possibly six wins here to finish out the season. And the Raiders are currently at 5-4. If they can get to 11-5 or even 10-6, I think that puts them in the position in the driver's seat to get that wild card pick because the Raiders are going to have to improve. So I'm looking at that, and I'm saying, looking at the schedule, is 6 wins, am I expecting too much from the Oakland Raiders saying that they'll finish with 6 wins? Am I delirious?
No, you're not. Because looking at the schedule, and with what you just said about some games being trap games, 6 wins could happen.
I mean, yeah, I'm saying 6 wins because I'm counting the trap game because I'm trying to say that, hey, they could beat the Jets. The Jets are an inferior team. We know how bad they've been playing. We know how Adam Gase cannot coach, has no business being in the league coaching on the sidelines as far as I'm concerned when it comes to the New York Jets. But who cares? All I'm saying is even with that trap game, minus the Chiefs game, which I'm counting as an L because I think the Chiefs beat the Raiders in Kansas City. I think the Raiders make it close, but I think Kansas City prevails in that game. So I'm saying 6 games. Even if they won 5 games, that still puts them at 10-6. If they won 5 games, that's 10-6. And if you look at the overall AFC picture, right? So if you look at the overall AFC picture, and I'm saying to myself, okay, let's look at the playoff picture. So if I'm in the AFC, we all know that New England is top dog, right? So we know that New England's going to be top dog. We know that the Colts right now, well, the Ravens right now are 6-2. The Texans are 6-3, along with the Kansas City Chiefs that are also 6-3. The Colts are currently 5-3, 6-2. So, worst case scenario, the Bills are going to lose more games. The Colts are probably going to lose more games. So, if I'm looking at the Raiders, who are just a game currently behind the Kansas City Chiefs right now, if I'm the Raiders, ironically, for next week, I have to pull for the Chargers to upset the Kansas City Chiefs in Mexico City. Because if the Chargers can beat the Chiefs, that puts the Chiefs at 6-4. Right? It will put them at 6-4. Let's see. I need to see the Chiefs record. Because it puts them at 6-4. Well, I know they play the Tennessee Titans, so let's say they beat the Tennessee Titans, so that puts them at 7-3. If the Chargers can beat the Chiefs, which is quite possible, stranger things have happened in the AFC West division. That puts them at 7-4. If the Raiders win, that puts them at 6-4. So they're still a game behind, but it helps them gain ground. And it sets up a very nice matchup at Arrowhead later on in the season. So I think they can continue to be neck and neck with the Kansas City Chiefs. Even though they won't win the division, if they're just a game behind the Chiefs, I think that helps them in the standings as they get that wild.
Yeah, and it definitely helps them get the wild card. But more importantly than that, I think is that it helps them build confidence for the future when they move to Las Vegas, because they need to build winners to move to Las Vegas, and that's what the front office, coaching staff, they knew they had to do that, to inspire hope. After last season, they didn't know that, but looking at the schedule, they can beat the Bengals, they can beat the Jets, I'm going to say they can beat the Jaguars, Titans, I'm thinking 5 wins, because I have a feeling they lose to Chargers or Broncos, one of those 2 games. So 11 wins, inspiring hope, and then being neck and neck in year 2 of the Gruden era, or Gruden era 2.0 in Oakland, then that would be very much key for them this season and for next season as well.
Well, we're going to take a quick time out because I want to talk about on the other side of the break, the status of one, One, LaMarcus Joyner, who we saw went down on Thursday night. What is his status for the future? Because that is a gaping hole in the secondary for the Oakland Raiders. Can he move on? Can he perform next week? Is he healthy enough? We'll find all that out on the other side of the break. You guys are inside the hole. That's right, the Silver and Black Hole, exclusively on the Silver and Black Pride Podcast Network here on SB Nation. We'll be right back.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And welcome back to the Silver and Black Hole podcast here on Silver and Black Pride Podcast Network, exclusively on SB Nation. I'm your host, Nick Hamilton, alongside my man, Kalen Sokal. And yes, the Oakland Raiders are victorious, coming off a huge W. They have a nice little break in between, especially on the short week coming off a Thursday night win inside the Black Hole. And so, of course, unfortunately, the win cannot come without casualties. LaMarcus Joyner, who played exceptionally well on Thursday night, I thought he pretty much held a lot of the wide receivers in check for the Los Angeles Chargers. I believe it was in the late third quarter, or fourth quarter rather, where we saw LaMarcus Joyner go down with a hamstring, which was not good. And that could have some severe consequences moving forward when it comes to the Raiders secondary. How big would that loss be if LaMarcus Joyner cannot continue for the next 2 to 3 weeks, let's say?
I mean, with the way the defense picked it up against the Chargers, I mean, I personally don't think it would be that big of a loss. Yes, from a leadership standpoint and for different standpoints like that, it would be a big loss in the locker room and a presence, but he'd still be there, but he just would not be on the field playing. I don't see it as a huge loss because he hasn't performed up to expectations this year, per se, as he has done for the past three seasons when he was with the Rams, where he had 4 interceptions in 3 years. He has none this year. He hasn't necessarily done much, but he has. I personally don't see it as a big loss.
Well, I have to disagree with you. I think it is a big loss in this regard. Now, yes, I agree with you in the fact that he hasn't lived up to the expectations of the times that we've seen him when he was with a member of the Los Angeles Rams and how impactful he was under that defense under Wade Phillips. However, his presence and his leadership are needed on the field, especially with the Raiders nursing already a significant amount of injuries. And also not only LaMarcus Joyner went down, but safety Carl Joseph also was injured and went down. And when John Gruden spoke about it on Thursday night in the postgame presser, he said, quote, I'm worried about Joyner, really worried about him, and I'm also worried about Joseph, end quote. If John Gruden is really worried about LaMarcus Joyner, that can have some serious consequences. Now, I know we all hear about the next man up philosophy, and that's all fine and good, and I'm not disclaiming or discrediting, rather, anybody that had to step up in LaMarcus Joyner's place, because I think the Raiders do have some significant players that can play the position. However, when you have an experienced guy at cornerback like LaMarcus Joyner, as you alluded to earlier, as far as his leadership and his presence being on the field, and you take that away, it does take away some of the vibe or the mystique that is in that secondary for the Oakland Raiders. And then when you also lose your safety in Carl Joseph, and when Carl Joseph was optimistic while he was using crutches leaving the Oakland Alameda Coliseum on Thursday night, you know, he said, quote, "Hopefully I'll be all right, but we'll see tomorrow," meaning Friday, "get everything checked out." So hopefully it's nothing but a minor injury. I'm sure crutches are a precautionary measure, so I don't want to get Raider Nation too riled up as far as how much significant time Carl Joseph could miss. But I will say this much, losing Carl Joseph for a long period of time along with LaMarcus Joyner doesn't help you if you're trying to make a strong playoff push. I'm more concerned about LaMarcus Joyner, especially when John Gruden said it, because Gruden rarely speaks about injuries in this form when he talks about him being really worried about somebody. I think it's serious. Hopefully we don't know how serious it is. Hopefully it's not too serious where he'll miss the entire season type of series. Maybe he misses the next 2 to 4 weeks, and if they do make the playoffs, he'll be back in time for the playoffs, or at least the last, you know, couple of games or the last game of the season. And speaking of LaMarcus Joyner, that's tough, man. I mean, you lose two guys that you significantly need. That puts a dent in your defense. And when you're facing teams like the Kansas City Chiefs or going on the road against the Los Angeles Chargers or even the Denver Broncos, who aren't really doing that well this year, it could pose a huge problem, man.
Yeah, it could. And especially since you're already down one Jonathan Abram. And
yes.
And your depth is sort of depleted. And I read earlier this morning that for Ian Rappaport, the team's concerned that Carl Joseph's injury might be serious, and he'll undergo an MRI today, Friday. But if you lose two of them, that seriously depletes your depth and everything, especially after the trade deadline passed, everything, where you cannot improve with serious talent the defensive secondary. So it would definitely not be good, especially when you're coming up and playing teams such as teams led by Patrick Mahomes, and I'm going to say Tannehill has performed admirably this season for the Titans. And then you also had to face Phillip Rivers again. It's not the most ideal situation having a banged up secondary. Teams with banged up secondaries rarely, if ever, perform well after they lose the depth there.
Well, you know what? Here's the problem I have. And I mean, I understand what you're saying, honest, and you make a valid point. What I will say is this. If it's a serious injury, if Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network is reporting that it could be a possible serious injury when it comes to Carl Joseph, that sounds like he could be out for the season. If he is out for the season, I may have to dial back my high level of expectations when it comes to the Oakland Raiders winning out the next 5 to 6 games. The offense, listen, I think the offense continues to improve. I think Derek Carr has finally found his groove. I love Josh Jacobs. I think Josh Jacobs is going to continue to improve. He has my bid for Rookie of the Year because I think he's been the engine as it pertains to getting this offense continuing to go in the right direction. This guy is a dynamic threat. He can run the ball. He can catch out the backfield. He can find the open holes. Even when there were a couple times on Thursday night where you thought Josh Jacobs was a guy that was already caught. The play was dead, and he bounces around and finds an extra 5 to 6 yards and pretty much keeps the chains going. That's how dynamic and special this young man is. And so I don't doubt. I love Tyrell Williams and what he's done. Hunter Renfrow, the rookie. I think he's done an exceptional job thus far. He's starting to find his groove. And for the first time in a long time, I think Derek Carr has some significant weapons that he can find and throw to and keep the chains moving and keep the ball going. Yes, he was sacked twice on Thursday night. Melvin Ingram is no slouch. Melvin Ingram is one of those bookends that you do not want to be on the end of and looking up at him from the ground up, along with Joey Bosa. So, hey, there was no escaping. Either he was going to get sacked by Joey Bosa or he was going to get sacked by Melvin Ingram. It was the lesser of the two evils, I think. When it comes to Derek Carr, but he remained poised. He got back up, got back under center, and finished out the drive. So, listen, he's going to have moments like that. But overall, this is a guy in Derek Carr that finished extremely well. I think he finished 21-for-31, .178 with a touchdown. So, this guy is coming back. And this is a guy, this is the quarterback we've all been waiting for the last 2 years. 21-for-31, 218 yards passing and one touchdown. I'm excited about this Raider team now. I'm actually excited about it. I'm actually excited to see. And I tell you what, the coolest thing of the night, man, is when we saw head coach John Gruden dapping up, high-fiving the fans at the end of the game. In the black hole. I thought that was extremely cool. I thought that was fun to see Gruden in that moment, especially them being the last year in Oakland before they moved to Las Vegas. And I know it's tough for the fans up in Oakland, but hey, that's the price of business. They're moving to the Las Vegas stadium next year. But while they're still in Oakland, the fans are still coming out in droves, showing their love, showing their support. And the thing about Raider Nation, I tell this to anybody, Raider Nation travels extremely well. I don't care if it's in Timbuktu. I don't care if it's in Rome, Italy. The Raider Nation will travel. And on Thursday night, you saw the power and the impact of Raider Nation in the black hole. To me, the last play of the game, and I want to talk briefly about that. The last play of the game, when I look at Max Crosby and Clelin Ferrell, how they jammed up Phillip Rivers so bad. On that last play, it was 4th and 10, final possession. Could the Chargers move forward and keep the chains rolling and try to win the game, at least even by a field goal? And I don't know if you saw the picture, Kalen, but my man Phillip Rivers' eyes was closed and saying, looked like he was praying to say, please don't hurt me, please don't touch me, as he released the ball for an incomplete pass. That, to me, was the funniest thing I saw all night long. I don't know about you, but I find that kind of stuff funny because when you see quarterbacks that shook when they close their eyes and hope and pray, man, that's how you know the defense was on point like a decimal and defense was impactful when they need to be impactful the most. But they've got to cut down on the turnover, man. That has got to stop.
Yeah, they definitely need to stop the turnovers. But as when you're talking about Phillip Rivers looking like that, I did see that picture, and that means your defense is in the right direction and where it should be. When you're putting a grimace, when people are fearing your defense and your defense is doing that to a divisional quarterback, that is always good for Raider Nation to see. And then going on Mad Max Crosby, as Evan was talking about the draft, he was one of the steals of the draft, the Raiders, getting him as a mid-round pick. That was one of the steals, and he's looking like that this season. Remember when the Raiders were sending people home for the draft, and people were worried about that? Well, the Raiders had a plan, and they stuck to it. And it's paying dividends on the field this season.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when you look at what they only allow 370 yards per opponent, which is ranked 14th in the NFL. They're actually 8th and only giving up 130 yards rushing per opponent, which is absolutely phenomenal. And then they only allow 23.1 points per opponent, which is 16th best in the league. So when I look at this defense, it can only get better, but their main issue is going to be health. Can they stay healthy? Can guys come back off this long, what I call a mini bye, and really start to get healthy and come back for the defense? Because when I look at this defense, and when I look at, I'm sorry, my mistake. Scratch that. When I look at the defense, I mean, they're ranked 11th in rushing yards. They're only giving up 98.4 yards rushing. They're giving up 283.2 yards, which is still damn near last in the league, so they need to clean that up. They're averaging 26.7 points per opponent of giving up those type of points for defense. So they've got to definitely clean that up. The numbers that I read you previously were the numbers for the offense. They're actually scoring 23.1 points per game, which is 16th in the league. They're averaging about 370 yards, which is 14th in the league. Rushing yards, they're averaging almost 130 yards, which is 8th, thanks to Josh Jacobs. And passing yards, they're actually passing 240.2 yards, which is 15th in the league, which is about mid-range, which is probably exactly where they should be, being that they're 5-4. So only upward for the offense. Defense, a lot more question marks. We'll see within the next week if we can answer some of those question marks as it pertains to the health of the defense. When you're moving forward, the Raiders are going to be able to host these, shall I say, winless Cincinnati Bengals. And that should be a relatively, I won't say easy game, because no game is easy in the NFL. But the way that the Cincinnati Bengals have been playing as of late, I mean, damn it, a high school team can beat them. That's how bad they look. A junior college team could beat the Cincinnati Bengals right about now. That's how bad they look. So there's no excuse why the Raiders should not come out victorious against the Cincinnati Bengals.
And then next week, even Andy Dalton is even starting for the Bengals either. So, you know, it's definitely be a win for Oakland. They're favored by 8 points right now, but that should go up.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, listen, when they're trying to – I think the Cincinnati Bengals are on team tank mode. They're trying to get the number one spot, especially now that the Miami Dolphins have won their first game of the season. The Cincinnati Bengals are pretty much in the driver's seat as far as being team tank and getting the number one overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft. So I don't see them trying to get a W on purpose. I think they play, but they don't play to the level of where they're supposed to, because they're in team tank mode. So the Raiders should go ahead and continue to play phenomenal offensive football. Hopefully the defense can gather it up, next man up. Hopefully they can rally, regroup, and get it together and go ahead and stay and get to 6-4 and stay in contention in the AFC West and the AFC as a whole. So we'll see what happens next Sunday. Hey, man, it's going to be great. Oakland Alameda Coliseum next Sunday, 1:25 p.m., CBS. Until next week, it's time for us to get up out the hole, man. So thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you download and subscribe to the Silver and Black Hole here on the Silver and Black Pride Podcast Network, exclusively on SB Nation. Raider Nation, stand up. We got a W. Let's go get another one. For Kalen SoCal, I am your host, Nick Hamilton. Until next time, take care, Raider Nation. Just win. Yo, I'm from the land of the players, slick talkers and collar poppers, narcotics and boss ballers, pit bulls and the rock rollers, niggas with gold teeth, old schools on gold feet, killers and OGs, task force and the police, Mac off the foothill, East 14, Sobrani Park, Brookfield, Plymouth and Walnut Street, from the building seminary to the rolling 20s, we ghetto celebrities like Big Feet and Little D, you see the East Bay Dragons, it's the home of the Panthers, where niggas like tons of crack and feds catching on camera, throw you in the slammer, it's the home of Chauvin Hammer, Buff Marlins moved to Atlanta, niggas stole our grandma. That's my brokers, that's my nephew, that's my weeples, that's my nizzle. Please believe me, go for cheesy, off the hizzle, do your thizzle. With my niggas riding dope feet rentals, rock presidentials, like crack pack pistols, every track I sizzle. Cause I'm a Raider, Oakland Raider, from the Bay to LA to Las Vegas. Cause I'm a player, a boss player. And if you with me, pop your collar, shake them haters. I'm a Raider, Oakland Raider, from the Bay to LA.
straight to Las Vegas, cause I'm a player, boss player. And if you with me, pop your collar, shake the haters. I'm a raider,
just like my niggas before me. But I was a thief without the open face, gold teeth. And in vogue was some fine ass Oakland Raiders. And Too Short was the first Oakland Raider on the set. Now, Man was a Raider when he was fucking with that. And a Story X was a Raider when he was a water to stay. And Dangerous Dame was a Raider when he was calling hoes names. But I know, from the lake on Sundays to the 5-0. Now we to Eastmont with the sideshow. But it's fun, and I'm famous, but I ain't trying to die, though. Niggas be going out in the game, but not I, though. If I have to go back to dope, I'm slinging for survival. Now, Drew Pippy Doo, if you hoeing any pippin' you. Tried it for 30 days, I ain't lying, I ain't with it, dude. A babysitting job? Oh my God, that's a job. But I still wanna do it, cause it's 100%
odds. Cause I'm a Raider, Oakland Raider. From the Bay to LA to Las Vegas. Cause I'm a player, a boss player. And if you with me, pop your collar, shake them haters. I'm a Raider, Oakland Raider. From the Bay to LA to Las Vegas. Cause I'm a player, boss player. And if you with me, pop your collar, shake them haters.
Hieroglyphics been Raider since 93 till infinity. Some underground shit that just shook the fucking industry. And Humpty with his gone ass, a Raider in his own right. The whole D, you can't forget, you amped on sight. Now, Mystic, she the only female Raider I know. You the shit, baby girl, I'm just letting you know. And last but not least, Tupac Shakur, nigga, rest in peace.
I'm from the city of dope, the town of the crack. I'm from the city of pimps, the town of the Mac.
East Oakland,
heat totin', Ebonics speech broken, keep joking. The loonies about to have the streets smoking. Down south, y'all keep smoking. Hey, we got that killer throwing eight, Heron and kilos for days. It's the city of the warriors, the home of the A's. Where niggas get sideways, shoot out some highways, nigga. East Oakland, bitch.
I'm a Raider,
cause I'm a Raider, Oakland Raider. From the Bay to LA to Las Vegas. Cause I'm a player, a boss player. And if you with me, pop your collar, shake them haters. I'm a Raider, Oakland Raider. From the Bay to LA to Las Vegas. Cause I'm a player, boss player. And if you with me, pop your collar, shake them haters.
We Raiders, three times crazy. Cytal, rest in peace, Eclipse. Bad Influence, rest in peace, Rapping Ron. Amp Banks, Seagram, rest in peace, my nigga. Black Dynasty, Delinquents, Richie Rich, 415, MCN, The Coup, Point Blank, EA Ski, Steady Mobbin, all y'all niggas is Raiders. Raider motherfuckers, what?
Damn, what about me? It's Mark Curry, baby, I'm not an open Raider, goddamn! I'm the first motherfucker on TV! First one did HBO. First one did Apollo. I think it qualified me in the Hall of Pimology as an Oakland Raider. What? I'm the first one on Dubs. What? I'm an Oakland Raider, baby. That's right. Representing the town, East Side Oakland. You know how we do it.